You can stream the show or listen on demand anytime. Just download the Odyssey app.
That's AUDACY.
Save WEEI as a favorite and listen wherever you go. Now, more of WEEI Afternoons.
With Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Steph is a unique individual, unique player. Got a really good skill set. Been a very productive player for a long time. Excited about his addition. My brother had an opportunity to coach him last year in Houston. So I have a little bit of insight into what he's like day to day, and I'm really excited about having him here.
Wow, Josh McDaniel's getting a lot of love on this show. Multiple cuts of audio being played.
He's important.
He's an important figure with the 2025 New England Patriots, and that brings us to NBC.
Especially when you hire a defensive-minded head coach.
Yes, yes, right? And especially when you have a young quarterback under said defensive-minded head coach.
Another good point.
A lot coming together here for the Patriots here on WEEI Afternoons. Our friends over at NBC Sports Boston, specifically the Senator, Phil Perry. He's not doing mock drafts anymore, Fitzy. He's doing off-season rankings on their website. And he went through offensive coordinators. And so we'll set the table here, and then we'll get to Josh McDaniels. Because I was a little, I was wondering if this was going to be homerific. Like, number one on the list, Josh McDaniels.
I was surprised by this list a little bit.
But Josh McDaniels not number one on the list. Number one on the list.
Breakdown in segments.
Yeah, they have the best of the best category, which I actually disagree with right off the bat.
So it's just easy. Tier one, tier two, and three, and four.
Well, you can't say tier. That's a Rich Keefe. They only do that on the midday show.
Okay.
They own tiers. The best of the best. Sean McVay is one. Andy Reid is two. Kyle Shanahan is three. Out of respect, I would have just put Andy Reid number one, because I think the thing he's done for a quarter of a century with different quarterbacks, different teams, I'm a big fan of. But obviously, Sean McVay is well-respected, and Kyle Shanahan supposedly has the most QB-friendly offense in the NFL, the most creative offense. So those are the three that are on a tier or a level all their own.
Mm-hmm.
Next, we have the Wizards is the choice of words they used, and there's four members of this category. Kevin O'Connell with the Vikings, who's actually a Sean McVay guy, sort of a disciple. Matt LaFleur with the Packers. Sean Payton with the Broncos. And Ben Johnson of the Bears, who leaves the Lions to take over that poop show in Chicago for Brian Furzocco. So those are the next tier. Then we have the artists. Three more. Mike McDaniel. Interesting, because I feel like... a lot of people are down on Mike McDaniel in Miami and the Dolphins.
I'm down on it, just his overall head coaching ability.
Yeah.
I think he's a hell of an offensive mind, though.
That might
just
be the
just snagged a nice tight end, though.
That might be, yes, he did. That might be the comparison with Josh McDaniels there, who I think a lot of people feel that is not a head coach, but is an offensive coordinator. Kevin Stefanski, the head coach of the Browns, and Todd Monken, the offensive coordinator with the Ravens, who has the benefit of having Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. I feel like I could be the offensive coordinator on that team.
Right.
Okay, next category, in good hands. So if you're listening, we're 10 deep here, and there is no mention of Josh McDaniels, but there is at number 11 in the in good hands category, a couple ex-Patriots, actually, or current and ex. Josh McDaniels, 11, Brian Daboll, the head coach of the Giants, Arthur Smith with the Steelers, and Joe Brady with the Buffalo Bills. So Josh McDaniels, the 11th best offensive coordinator in football. Fitzy, what do we think of that ranking?
I don't think that's unfair at all. I think that's probably appropriate. I was going to say top 10, so he's 11th, and that's pretty fair coming from someone who has followed him for a long time in Phil Perry. Now, if he's able to unlock Drake May, if he's able to turn this torpid offense around of the last couple of years, Ted, you should easily see Josh McDaniels make his way back into the top 10. But right now, I think that's 11 out of 32 is basically top third. That's a fair assessment, and especially since we haven't seen him call plays in New England in a couple of years. I full well expect him to be top 10 by this time next year.
You know, the more I think about it, you know, Fitzy, it's hard for me to really disagree with you. It's kind of like, you know, when you look at the names in front of him, you go, okay, that kind of makes sense. And part of it is Josh, what is he really known for? Like, you look at some of these coordinators, you go, Sean McVay, I know exactly what he is.
Yep.
He's from the Shanahan, okay? You know, Andy Reid is kind of uniquely his own style, right?
I love him.
I mean, I do too. So, you know, it's kind of like with Josh, like, you know, he's a game plan guy. I don't really, you know, exactly. He's not like, you don't watch his film and go, oh, I want to try that. He just...
Right.
it's more about week to week doing different things that exploits the weakness in the defense. And so it's not like he's setting any trends or he's doing an offense that is like, wow, I've never seen that happen. But he is a solid offensive coordinator, and I think he can develop quarterbacks. I think he can teach him how to read defenses. And really, I think where Josh's strength is, that doesn't necessarily show, you're not going to see it from a stylistic point. You're like, oh, that's the West Coast, or that's the Kyle Shanahan system. It's his ability to teach the quarterback how to get in the right play based on what the defense is showing. So it's almost as if you can't see the genius of Josh McDaniels, because if I see that quarterback, check, check, audible, check, check, and then you see a successful play, I'll give Josh McDaniels credit because that's where his expertise is.
And, you know, what is Josh McDaniels known for? And I think part of the negative or whatever is Tom Brady. Oh, it's just Tom Brady. I could have coached Tom Brady. You could have coached Tom Brady. And I don't think people give him enough credit for the various little windows of success with other quarterbacks not named Tom Brady. And I also, there's been a negative tint to sort of talk of Josh McDaniels lately about he puts too much on the quarterback. He asks them to too much. The playbook is too big. The verbiage is too much. Like, all these things that aren't McVay, that aren't some of these other systems. Right. And maybe even... And
that proves my point. So it's all about trying to figure out the perfect play based on what the defense...
Right.
As opposed to, here's the play, go run it. It's a lot easier to do that for a quarterback.
Oh, too much Correct. Of a perfectionist, you're saying, Ted. Okay.
And even he acknowledged this, I would say, with what he did, which was sort of bouncing around last year, looking at other systems and styles and coaching points and maybe trying to streamline it a little bit or alter it just a little bit. But there is also part of him that says, damn it, we teach the quarterback how to do that, how to get in the right play, the right protection. So he does have the answers to the test, right? Remember the famous Tom Brady, I have the answers to the test?
Yep.
Josh feels like he's giving the guy the answers to the test. Like, it's an open book exam.
Right.
And they're going to throw stuff at you, and I have prepared you to change based on what you see, right? And there's truth to that, but I also think it's a process. It can be more difficult. I'll tell you what
I
find.
It really can.
What I find really interesting about this list is at least one name that is behind Josh McDaniels. And that would be Phil Perry's 16th ranked offensive coordinator in the I'm interested category, one spot behind Chip Kelly, who jumps from college football to the Raiders. That would be Cliff Kingsbury, who all I heard last year was the job he did with Jaden Daniels, turned the Commanders around.
How's he behind Josh McDaniels?
I don't know. That's
he,
why
he got a rookie quarterback to the NFC Championship game.
I mean, maybe that's recency bias, and maybe Phil was sort of trying to avoid recency bias because he did fail with Kyler Murray as the head coach slash offensive coordinator play caller. There was even some criticisms of him for, didn't he spend the year at USC with Caleb Williams?
There, yeah.
And Caleb Williams had a little regression, and some people think maybe Cliff Kingsbury could have played a role there. But last year, if you're doing sort of the here and now offensive coordinator rankings, he should be about 12 spots higher, shouldn't he? He took a rookie quarterback to the NFC title
game. Give me Cliff Kingsbury over Josh McDaniels right now. Are you kidding me? Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, I think he's more forward-thinking than Josh.
But
I do.
That also could come crashing down.
I mean, they both
suck
as head coaches, but I think Cliff is a very, very his offensive mind is spectacular.
Hey, Andy, where since you have the list in front of you.
Yes, sir.
Was Nick Sirianni slash the Eagles offense to be found anywhere?
So Nick's Kevin Petullo. Anyone's guess category. Yeah, anyone's guess category. Well, this is a Andy needs to study some of the coordinators that are in the NFL right now because number 32, Andy. Josh Grizzard, offensive coordinator, Buccaneers. I never heard of that
Grizz.
Guy.
He took over for
Liam Cohen, right?
Duval.
Liam Cohen moved on to become a head coach. But, Kevin Petullo, the offensive coordinator for the Eagles, is 29th. Our old friend,
elite ingredients.
Old friend Nick Caley is 28th with the Houston Texans, where he took over for Bobby Slowick. What are you furrowing your brow at Nick Caley for? You don't like Nick Caley?
Yes, I know he is your offensive coordinator equivalent of Jaylen Brown. You've dubbed him one of your guys.
I like him.
No wrong.
It's a nice kid.
I said I'm very curious to see what he does.
No, I think he's had good experiences.
All,
you know where he's been?
First of all,
New England and then L.A. with McVay. I think that's a pretty good background to piece together if you're a pretty good young coach, smart coach.
The guy might be a very good offensive coordinator, but he's got this interesting mix of bringing in two new wide receivers from Iowa State, C.J. Stroud on the third year, looking to reacquire what he got in year one. Peyton Manning defended him, said it wasn't really a regression in year two. And also, by the way, massive transition on their offensive line. They traded away Laremy Tunsil, so your guy Nick Caley is going to be dealing with a lot of change in Houston. That's why I say it's an interesting position.
And maybe the most interesting tier here is the need more information crew that Phil Perry put together, and one that jumps off the page, this weird hire from last year at 27th, Brian Schottenheimer, who's now the head coach of the Cowboys in a pressure-packed situation.
That's going to be a beautiful disaster down there. Brian Schottenheimer, I've been listening to what he's been kind of been selling to. So they're changing the culture down there. He is all about changing the culture.
Oh, yeah, whose lockers did he move? He moved.
I forget, but he is.
Micah Parsons next to Dak Prescott, maybe,
big on
or
this
something?
Culture.
But Dak
thing.
Looks ripped.
Oh, dude, I just.
You don't think it's going to work?
I'm not feeling it, man. Dallas is going to be awful again, I think, this year.
And also in that category is a couple guys that, if you remember, people wanted around here. Zach Robinson. People wanted him to come here 2 years ago or whatever with Mayo. And Dave Canales, who became the head coach with the Panthers.
Big fan of that guy.
And they have ridden a weird roller coaster, obviously, with their quarterback situation and the pressure that the owner puts on them. But Josh McDaniels, is he the 11th best offensive coordinator in football?
It's actually, the more you think about it, I think that's appropriately fit right there.
Well, and it's also, I think, a little bit like the quarterback position. You know how we talk about there's at quarterback, there's that group at the top that you just say, yeah, they're the best. Mm-hmm. And it includes Mahomes and Burrow and Allen and Jackson. And then that next group varies from year to year, right? It ebbs and flows. Like Cliff Kingsbury, if they get off to a good start and you redid this list, Cliff Kingsbury is going to be a top five, top eight offensive coordinator. Now, if there's a regression, people are going to say, I don't know what happened last year. Do we blame him? So I think that group, and Josh is the same thing. If the Patriots are 3-1 in September and Drake May looks like he's a legit starting
That's
quarterback.
What I'm betting on a 3-1 start.
Josh will be up by, 7-6-5 somewhere for offensive coordinators. So, interesting list to keep an eye on. Good job by Phil Perry doing a little.
It is interesting, though, when you kind of look at the diversity of the offensive coaching staff. Todd Downing, the wide receivers coach. Doug Marone, the offensive line coach. Thomas Brown, the tight end passing game corner. They all come from different styles of offense. And the word is, Josh is hearing all their different styles. I'm kind of curious to see what the offense looks like.
I am, too.
With all of these underlings and Josh putting this in a pot and then giving it to what I think is a just amazingly skilled quarterback. I don't know if he's going to be an elite franchise quarterback, but he's a very skilled quarterback. See, what is that? I'm curious to see what that looks like.
It could either be fantastic football fusion of all that coming together. Because Josh talked about in OTAs, we're running plays today that I have no experience with. I've never seen before because these guys want to bring
him. So he's taking an ego out. He doesn't have an ego.
That's great. Perfect. And we'll see how that goes. Or it could be a disaster because there's too many cooks in the kitchen and the flavors don't marry up properly.
That
and
won't
like,
happen.
People
I'm guessing against that.
Okay. We're betting against it. We'll see. But we're going to wrap up the football power hour here on WEEI Afternoons. I don't know if you've noticed, but the top 100, the NFL offseason ranking of all the players in the league, that has started to trickle out. It's actually no longer on NFL Network. They're doing it on YouTube and Twitter and these various streaming ways.
The finals are still on NFL Network.
Oh, okay.
I believe so.
When we get to the big stuff, we'll get back to cable television.
The ones that matter, yeah.
But, the top 100's out. We'll give you the first couple guys on it, and then we'll speculate which Patriots could be on the top 100, who will be highest. That conversation's next here on WEEI Afternoons.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
What song is this, Diz?
To someone who wishes he was a little bit taller.
Not cool. We saved the bullying for late in the show today. Ted, I didn't even show you.
Let me see.
Yeah. My Hey Dudes on, baby.
Oh, those Hey Dudes. Very patriotic Hey Dudes.
Who advertises for Hey Dudes?
Who's that?
The overrated Sydney Sweeney.
Oh, that was a real thing?
Oh, yeah.
You're kidding me.
No, she does ads for Hey Dudes.
That's amazing.
She has her own line of, women's slippers.
I thought you just
slippers.
Made that up.
No, no, no. I'm not that good. I wish I knew how to do stuff like that.
I was going to say, I was impressed.
No, she legit does ads and photo shoots for Hey Dudes. She's one of their brand endorsers or whatever.
So a company called Hey Dudes has a female endorser.
Genius.
Does that make sense to anybody? I don't know. Why am I struggling with that?
Well, you're marketing to dudes.
Why do they have a sports bar and restaurant named Hooters? Same concept.
Men are simple creatures.
We really are. Food and boobs. We're done.
Okay. Fair enough.
You add beer into, you know, liquids into the food category.
It all interchanges.
Yes. But yeah, the NFL 100 is slowly trickling out. What, do you want me to go down that road further, Dan Ball? You're like, I mean, my son wanted me. He was texting me earlier. When are you going to talk about the blowback you got from saying Sydney Sweeney's not that hot? Because I took a beating from my son's friend group. They think I'm an idiot. I'm blind. What the hell are you talking? No wonder. Blah, 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 blah. Sydney Sweeney has weird eyes. I'm just saying it. She has weird eyes. And some people are probably like, wait, she has eyes? I didn't know that. But no, we're moving on from that. We're not doing mean tweets. Dan, do you have a mean tweet you want to read?
No. Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, NFL. I see you on your phone in there.
I don't have them ready yet, so go ahead.
And I know you wanted to beat up on me a little
bit.
But the first three members of the NFL Top 100 are out. And number 100 hurts.
Yeah.
It hurts a lot of people. I know Fitzy. It is a blow. Ladd McConkey, number 100.
Got to be rated higher than that.
Number one in Fitzy's heart, but number 100 on the NFL.
Number
top
one
100.
On my most unforgivable list. Number one in my heart. Number one on the New England Patriots 2025 wide receiver rankings. If Elliott Wolf had not screwed the pooch at midnight without even asking a couple months back, that is still borderline unforgivable. Travion Henderson might redeem him, but to me, not taking Ladd McConkey, the easiest and most obvious available wide receiver in last year's draft.
That's a black mark on Elliott Wolf for sure.
It is. That didn't go
too
well.
Perfect.
Especially in relation to, well, we'll just take Jalen Polk. And that really didn't. I don't know what went worse for Elliott Wolf, how good Ladd McConkey was, or how bad Jalen Polk was.
It was the combination
of
both.
The difference between the two, the delta.
Couldn't be further away.
Oh, my God. And especially
how about the 9 receptions for 113 yards and 2 touchdowns McConkey put up last December against the Patriots.
Let me tell you something. Ladd McConkey, some of the routes he was running in that game against the Patriots, they were doing stuff that only Mahomes and Travis Kelce do. Like, he would have a post route, and then he'd see the safety in the middle, and he'd break it out and run a corner route, and find that space.
Right.
He would adjust on the fly in the middle of a route, and I've only seen Kansas City do that.
Wow.
Ladd McConkey was doing that in his rookie year with the Chargers.
With Herbert, Justin Herbert. So, you know, that connection between the two. Yeah. Music to the ears of Chargers fans, I'm sure.
To see that combination
flourish.
And
next
Greg
up.
Greg Roman, I believe,
Leonard Williams at 99, and then Aaron Jones at 98. I don't know if you guys have any quick comments on those before
move
on. Okay, so to me, the most interesting part of this, sort of at this point in the process, is which Patriots could be on it, and how high could they land?
Well, who's on it? Is there no Patriots on it? Are you telling us right now there's no Patriots on it?
No, we don't know.
Oh.
No. Then it's not out. We only have 199.
Oh, my god.
Oh, they string this out forever.
So they give you the top five?
This is the biggest tease
95
ever.
95 to 100.
They're
giving you like two a day.
Yeah.
Brutal.
Until the season.
It's a tease. But I have to think Christian Gonzalez is in the top 100, right?
Yes.
An all-pro cornerback in his second season.
Yes.
So Christian Gonzalez, how high he gets, I mean, theoretically he should probably be top 50.
That's the only player on that list. I guess he'll have one player.
He'll be in the 70s.
Patriots have one player.
Well, anybody that they added, is Milton Williams have a chance to be in there?
Oh, that's fair. Yeah. You're right. Okay.
Was a guy that I would throw in there as a possibility.
You know what? Okay. I would bet on those two guys being in the top 100. Yes.
I actually kind of hope Milton Williams is in there because you gave him $100 million.
Top free agent.
Right. Top free agent. You gave him $100 million. You'd like to think he's one of the best 100 players in the National Football
League.
What about Chooks?
Top 100 most retired before the season?
Top 100 walkaway candidates this year.
But it does put into perspective the roster, like how bad the roster is.
But it's been like this for a while.
And the other thing is, and this is
Patriots
something.
Haven't had players in the top 100 for a while.
I've heard out of that building is they believe they've improved the starter talent, the number of starters they have.
No question.
But they still question how they marry up with elite players. Do they not have as many elite players as other teams or guys that need to prove that they are elite? I mean, they might by the end of the year. Let me just throw this out there. By the end of the year, is it not possible that Drake May, Travion Henderson, Christian Barmore, Milton Williams could all join Christian Gonzalez in the top 100?
Without
you could
question.
Have five right there.
Yeah, that's not out of the
realm.
Steph Diggs re-entering the chat.
Steph Diggs could. Okay, that's a sixth player. I would even throw out either one of the running backs. If Ramondre Stevenson fits with this offense, I don't rule out that he could have a great year. And all it really takes is one great year to jump yourself back into the conversation.
So you're
here.
Saying they legit probably have two guys, but they potentially could have six or seven. Yeah.
Yeah.
If they live up to what we all think their ceiling is.
And that's your hope, is that by this time next year, we realize they all elevated, or a big chunk of them elevated. Hell, could you throw Jabril Peppers and Kyle Duggar in there? Could they have a great year at safety?
Sure. What if Hunter Henry reassumes the comfort level he had with Josh McDaniels back in 2021? You know he's the favorite target of Drake May entering camp.
Yeah, but Hunter Henry
good tight ends
is just good. Like, he'll give you, he's going to give you your 40-something catches, 50 catches for like 700 yards with six touchdowns.
He's just a solid tight end.
Consistent.
He's an egg sandwich with no bacon.
Good.
He's
a professional tight end.
There's too many good tight ends now.
Yeah, and there really is. I started doing that the other day and started looking at the tight ends.
Yep.
The position's kind of had like a resurgence. No, a lot of really good tight ends out there, and it's one of my favorite positions.
One of mine too, man. And they always undervalued it. During my time, I never understood that.
Yeah.
Tight ends never got the love that these are guys that block and catch. Like, they do a little bit of everything.
Just ask Christian Fourier. They should be paid the most because they're treated like a lineman. They're treated like a wide receiver. They need to know everything. Blah, blah, blah. Jeez, he was preaching that forever. Yes, Dan Ball.
All right, you guys got to go to break. Can I read one mean tweet?
Okay, I knew you'd be waiting for this.
Hart probably can't have her because Awaken 180 says so.
Oh. Way to get the sponsor in, though. Appreciate you, troll. Sydney Sweeney, he made a comment about her that I stand by, but people reacted very negatively and meanly on social media.
Your own family.
Even my own family ripped me. That did hurt the most. Good point, Stiz. You know, it's one thing from outside the building, but inside the family, that really
cut me. The tweet is coming from inside the house.
It
walks like a duck, Andy.
All right, let's move on. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, we got to get back to the Boston Red Sox, who are scoring runs in bunches in the first inning, in multiple games. The offense has turned a corner, except out of the corner of my eye, I see Ted Johnson shaking his head in disbelief. And one player has injected some life in the offense. It's not just Abreu and some of the other guys. One young superstar player that Nick Fitzy Stevens wanted in the big leagues got off to a slow start. But as Roman Anthony turned the corner, and is he part of the reason for hope for these Boston Red Sox? That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.